بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وزكريا إذ نادى ربه رب لا تذرني فردا وأنت خير الوارثين. Respected elders and dear brothers, mothers and honorable sisters, last night we discussed the dua of Yunus alayhi salam when he was in the belly of the fish and he called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the supplication that he made. Immediately after Allah describes for us the dua of Yunus alayhi salam, Allah moves on to the dua of Zakariya. By the way, the three du'as that we have discussed, which was the du'a of Ayyub, the du'a of Yunus, and tonight the du'a of Zakariya alayhi salam, you find all these three du'as, Allah has mentioned them in one place in the Qur'an. Allah draws our attention to the manner in which they made du'a and the words with which they turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will find these du'a in Surah Al-Anbiya. Anbiya means the prophets, because in that surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the prophets and the da'wah that they gave to the people and the du'as that they made. Now the du'a of Zakariya alayhi salam, we have made a reference to it throughout the month of Ramadan. In fact, last Ramadan, we spoke and we dedicated an entire talk just on the du'a of Zakariya alayhi salam and the manner in which he made du'a to Allah. It's amazing, it's fascinating. And a detailed description of his dua appears in Surah Maryam. Kaf ha ya ain sad dhikru rahmati rabbika abdahu Zakariya idh nada rabbahu nida'an khafiyya. A beautiful description of the dua that he made. Zakariya alayhi salam is 90 years old. His wife is just as old. And on top of that, she is barren. She is barren, she cannot give birth. So from a medical point of view, it's impossible for her to give birth and to conceive a child. Now we spoke of this earlier, that this concept of impossibility is something that exists within our world, within our minds, and it is something that exists within our life. It's a concept that we believe in. But for Allah, this concept of impossibility, or this term impossibility, does not exist. And that is the perception, or that is the frame of mind with which you should sit with before Allah. The world can tell you it's impossible. The medical experts can tell you it's impossible, based on the knowledge that they have. We do not say that they have erred, or they have mistakenly given you the wrong diagnosis. No. They have based their conclusion on the knowledge that they have. So medically, it's impossible. From any, scientifically, they'll tell you it's impossible. But when you sit before Allah, you need to remove all that from your mind. If you have that doubt within your mind, that, well, they told me it's impossible, but I'm trying here, try my luck, tata my chance. It might work out. No, that must, oh Allah, for you nothing is impossible. Now look at Zakariya alayhi salam. 90 years of age, his wife is of advanced age, and she's barren. وَكَانَتِ امْرَأَتِ عَاقِرًا. My wife is barren, oh Allah. She cannot give birth. Even if she was young, she cannot give birth. That's why for 40 years he made the dua. 40 years of his life, he kept on making that dua. Allah speaks of that dua. I just gave you a preamble to the dua so you understand what he is making dua for. وَزَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ. Allah told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَذْكُرْ أَيُّوبُ. Tell them of Ayyub's dua. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَنُّونَ. Tell them of the man of the fish, Yunus alayhi salam, and his dua. Tonight Allah says, وَزَكَرِيَّا. Tell them, O Muhammad, tell your ummah that this is how they should make dua to me. Tell them about Zakariya. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ. He shouted out, he called out to his Rabb, to his Allah. Zakaria alayhi salam, when did he make this dua? In the latter portion of the night. It was the last portion of the night. Ibn Kathir alayhi rahma says, Al-Qam alayhi salam wa qad nama ashabuh. All the keepers, he was a keeper of Masjid al-Aqsa. He was one of the very responsible worshippers in Masjid al-Aqsa. When all the other keepers of Masjid al-Aqsa were asleep, that's when he stood up in the dead of the night and he cried out, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb. And Ibn Kathir alayhi rahmah says, every time he said, Ya Rabb, O my Rabb, Allah responded by saying, Labbaik, Labbaik, Ya I am, O Zakaria, I'm at your service. What is it that you are asking from me? What's the dua that he made? Allah explains here, he said, Rabbi, O my Rabb, لا تذرني فردا, O my Allah, do not leave me alone. Do not leave me alone. You know, when you study the du'as of the Anbiya, I want to ask you, we have been studying the du'as, right? We studied the du'a of Musa alayhi salam. We studied the du'a of Yunus alayhi salam. We studied the du'a of Ayyub alayhi salam. Whenever they made du'a for something in this world, I'm asking you, were they ever direct in their du'a? None of them were direct. None of them. Yes, Asiya alayhi salam, she's making du'a for what? For something of this world? No, what was the du'a? Rabbi ibni li indaka baytan fil jannah. If I'm making du'a for something of the akhirah, be direct. Allah, I want a house, a palace in Jannah close to you. This is prophetic etiquette. Because it's something of this world, it's something of this temporary life, they felt ashamed to be direct in the du'a. Look at the du'a that he made. Ayyub alayhi salam, we discussed his du'a. He was not direct. Musa alayhi salam. And tonight Zakaria, what does he say? Oh Allah, do not leave me alone. Do not leave me alone. Do not leave me without a child. And then he goes on to say, Rabbi la tazarni farda wa anta khayrul warithin. And you are the best of inheritors. So he wished for his son. He made a dua specifically for his son. And he wished for an heir. Somebody who will be my heir. An inheritor after I pass away. But at the same time, what does he tell Allah? Wa anta khayrul warithin. Oh Allah, you are the best of inheritors. He's making it clear to Allah that Allah is the best heir no matter if he had a son or he does not have a son. At the end of the day, oh Allah, I will not make that child the objective of my life and my purpose. You are still khayrul warithin. You are still first in my life. You are the best of heirs. You are the best of inheritors. So if I'm not going to be blessed with a son and I will not have a child, then oh Allah, it's fine because you are still the objective of my life. So this is what we call prophetic respect. That the main concern of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam should always be towards Allah. And even if someone comes between them and Allah, or someone else draws their focus and attention, then it should not deviate them from the main objective, which is Allah. So he makes it clear to Allah. Oh Allah, this is what I want. This is what I want. I want a son, but you are still khairul warithin. You are still the objective and the purpose of my life. What I'm asking for will not become the purpose and will not become the objective of my life. So this is the dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that Zakaria alayhi salam had made. When he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. Again, after the dua of Ayyub alayhi salam, Allah says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. After the dua of Yunus alayhi salam, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. And after the dua of Zakaria alayhi salam, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. We responded to him. We answered the dua of Zakaria alayhi salam. وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ يَحْيَى. Allah says, and we gave to him Yahya. Wahaba. We discussed wahaba, correct? Wahaba is derived from hiba. Hiba means a gift. So Allah is saying, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ يَحْيَى. And we gave him a gift in the form of his son Yahya. We blessed him with a child. Allah did not say, آتَيْنَا. آتَى means to give. Wahaba means to give a gift. وَهَبْنَا لَهُ يَحْيَى. So the child that Allah gives you did not deserve it. It's not, never should I feel that I deserve it now. It came now, I deserve it. It should have come to me, or it belongs to me. It's a gift, Allah says. A gift is something that is additional. Something that you were not deserving of. But out of Allah's kindness, out of Allah's generosity, Allah wished to give you this gift. So that is, Allah, I don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. But Ya Rab, give me this gift. Allah says, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ يَحْيَى. We gave him a son who was Yahya. وَأَصْلَحْنَا لَهُ زَوْجَى. And we made his wife good for him. What does this mean? She was barren, right? Medically, scientifically, she could not conceive a child. So Allah says, وَأَصْلَحْنَا لَهُ زَوْجَى. We corrected her situation. Even though she was barren, we allowed her to conceive. We allowed her to conceive. أَصْلَحْنَا لَهُ زَوْجَى. Now Allah explains two aspects here. Why? What motivated Allah to accept the dua? Look at this. Allah says, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Both Zakaria and his wife, Allah says, they used to exert themselves in what? In good deeds. So one of the prerequisites to have your dua answered is to exert yourself, to tire yourself, and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to exhaust your energy in the worship of Allah. Allah uses the word yusari'un. Yusari'un actually means to race. When two people are having a race, right, and they are running and they are racing, what do? Do you take your time? Are you chilling out and running? Are you taking it easy? No. Ask those who ran the marathon last weekend, was it? All the energy, all the effort, whatever it takes, you are racing. So you put every bit of energy that you have into that race. So Allah says, this is how they would do good deeds. They were racing with each other in good deeds, both him and his wife. Allah says, look, 40 years it took. 40 years. Allah says consistently. They didn't say, you know what, our dua is not getting answered, so let me take my foot off the pedal. It seems as if the good deeds I'm doing is of no good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the objective of that good deed. And many a time, sometimes you find people, Allah says when he's in trouble, فَذُو دُعَاءٍ عَرِيمٍ, then he's changing his life. So he's not changing his life for Allah, but he's changing his life, why? To get out of the trouble. He's changing his life, why? He's now coming to the masjid more frequently, and he's now praying more frequently, he's reciting Quran more frequently. Why? Because he's in trouble. So to get out of his trouble, he's doing this good deed. Allah says, no, it was not like that with Zakaria and his wife. يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Allah says they exerted themselves, they exhausted themselves in good deeds. That's number one. That's number one. Allah said, this is what motivated me to answer their dua. Right? Their exhaustion in good deeds. Number two, وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا. And they called us upon us. When they made dua to us, Allah says there were two emotions or two feelings that were prevalent within their hearts when they made dua, both him and his wife. What was it? Allah says, وَيَدْعُونَنَا. And when they made dua to us, there was raghab and rahab. Raghaban wa rahaba. What does raghaba mean? Raghaba means that they, with great hope, with great anticipation, with great enthusiasm, that's raghba. Raghba. To have great hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bless me with his mercy. And at the same time, rahaba. Rahaba and fear. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, al-imanu bayna al-khawfi wal-raja. Iman that you have within your heart, it should remain between two states. What is that? Hope and fear. You must have hope in the mercy of Allah, hope in the forgiveness of Allah, right? But at the same time, you should also fear the punishment of Allah. You should also fear the displeasure of Allah. You should also fear the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Why not only hope? Because if there's only hope, you become complacent and you relax. It's only hope. So you find the person saying, Allah will forgive me. So there's only hope, he doesn't exert himself in the ibadat of Allah. If there's only fear, he'll become despondent. He'll become despondent. Why should I? There's too much fear. So Nabi Sassam says, Al-Khawf wal-Raja. And Allah says, this is what Zakaria alayhi salam and his wife, both of them, they made dua to us in hope, having full hope in our mercy and rahaba, and they have fear. One interpretation of this, according to Mufti Shafi Al-Uthmani rahimahullah, he says this could be interpreted to mean that they call Allah both in comfort and distress. Rahab and rahab means what? In comfort also, they used to turn to Allah. They never forgot Allah in the days of prosperity. And rahaba means in their distress and in their adversity also they turn to Allah. So Allah says, in whichever condition, they always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one interpretation. The other interpretation, as we explained, is that their du'as remain suspended between hope and fear, hoping that Allah would forgive their sins and fearing that their mistakes may bring upon themselves the displeasure of Allah. Okay, so you have that fear. Maybe through my mistakes, my du'a will not be answered. So you have that fear. Maybe through my mistakes, through my disobedience, through my sins, right? That you have that fear. But at the same time, you have full hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your du'a. وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ So Allah explains three attributes of theirs that motivated them, that motivated Allah to answer their du'a and inspired Allah to answer their du'a. Number one, they exerted themselves in every good deed. They looked for opportunities to perform good, number one. Number two, they would call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their prosperity and in their adversity with hope in the mercy of Allah and fearing the punishment of Allah. And number three, وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they were humble to us. They were very humble. Very humble people, humble souls, especially before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they made dua, there was not a trace of self-sufficiency, a trace of arrogance, a trace of pride, or a trace of entitlement. This is very important. Many a times we feel we are entitled to what it is we are making dua for. I fasted the whole month of Ramadan. Every night I woke up for tahajjud salah. Every night I came to the masjid and performed tarawih salah. I made khatam upon khatam upon khatam. And now I'm making dua on Laylatul Qadr. This could be a trace of entitlement. That I deserve it. That what I'm asking for now, I deserve it. Allah says, no. وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ They always, always, humility before us, humbleness before us. And with this we conclude the beautiful dua made by Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. Next, insha'Allah ta'ala, we will move on to the dua mentioned also in the very same surah made by a great Nabi of Allah, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.